Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Ho, 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 and welcome in This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Your gift that keeps on giving, at least for 3 hours, you know. 3 hours is about a good Christmas time. Maybe the family's in. Maybe you don't want to deal with it. Maybe you're not listening live. It's podcast time. Guess what? We got you for 3 hours while those in-laws are going on about their fruitcake and the kids are crying about only having two presents that are about, you know, 3 pounds. And they're like, well, where's my 10-pound present? You can just tune all of it out. You can listen to Bogman and I because we'll do the complaining for you. Lots of complaining coming in here.
Yeah, and your ho-ho-ho is actually appropriate this week. So.
It is. I busted out a ho-ho last week. A lot of ho-ho-hos going on right now. I'm like the ho train.
The ho train.
Who was that in wrestling? That was
Papa Shango. What was his name then?
That was his name before.
Yeah,
the Godfather.
Yeah, you're right.
The Godfather.
Right.
On the ho-ho-ho train.
I remember I was sick from school one day, and what was the... You remember the Jerry, but it was the Jenny, the Jenny Smith show, something like that?
Jenny Craig?
No, it wasn't Jenny Craig, it was a bunch of fat girls. But I saw this girl.
Oh, what? Merry Christmas, Jesus.
What? Well, I mean, if there was male Jenny Craig, I would be on it. There probably
is. Every show.
Every show, I should be on it, absolutely. So anything, I should be on all of them combined.
So you're watching the female Jerry Springer show.
Yeah, whatever, Jenny Smith, whoever it is.
Tyra Banks, something like that.
Yeah, something. And I see this woman on the show, and they were in...
He's the daddy.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, and she's getting in a fight and all this stuff. And then I'm watching wrestling later that night. I think it was a Monday night. I was sick. And the same woman who was on the Jenny Smith show is in the ho train.
No, really?
I swear to God. Yeah. And I was like, where are they tonight? And it was L.A. And that was where Raw was. And then I looked up the show, and
open
the show
casting
recorded
call.
In L.A.
So. Open casting call, apparently.
That's right.
Let me ask you a question.
Hoes.
Not for ho-ho-hos, Bogman. For not to get off on, I mean, not that we would get off on a tangent here, a wrestling tangent. But
we don't do tangents.
The Godfather and Val Venus ever have a thing? Like, did they ever have a bit where they were wrestling? Because I feel like that would have been a match made in heaven as far as like wrestling bits would go.
You know, like, I think that...
Hello, ladies.
First of all, I think they did. I think they were a tag team for a little bit.
I want them to be against each other. Like Val Venus is like, I'm going to get you. And then all of a sudden, it's like, bow, 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 like, in come the room, the Godfather. And he's like, hey, Val Venus, let me tempt you. And Val's like, no, well, okay, let me check that. You know what I mean? Like, every week, they could do something like that.
I remember...
storylines.
I remember when... Like they jumped the shark as far as that goes, because they had the Japanese guys were going to cut off Val Venus's unit.
Well,
for that
in the late 90s, WWE did quite a few things that jumped the shark. A couple that come to mind, a couple years after 9/11, having the terrorist angle. I don't remember who that guy's name was, but he was, you know, hate Americans. How about when they crucified Stone Cold on Monday Night Raw? They put him on a cross and hung him up.
Remember that? Yep.
I think multiple times they tried to kill Vince McMahon. They did they like put him in a car and then the car would blow up.
Do you remember? You remember when they hung the Big Boss Man?
No. Did they? Oh, my God. Remember,
look that up on Google right now. They hung him. And
Big
his neck is so fat,
man,
that he didn't. He obviously didn't die. So
let me see. I'm a little worried
about
that.
Undertaker,
oh my god!
Yeah, he's hanging. He looks like he's dead.
Oh my God, that's horrific.
Yeah, I know.
That's like horrific.
Why do you think that's burned into my memory? I remember that.
He is like hanging from, I'm not trying to laugh, but this is horrific looking. Yeah, I mean, they clearly just, like, he wears a big jacket. So all it was like they hooked it to the back of his, you know, like it wasn't like they put it around his neck, but it's like on the back of, it's hooked to his jacket. So it pulls him up. But like WWE was truly.
I think I was like, you know, 12 when that happened, like something like that. Like that's why I remember it so vividly.
The 90s in wrestling, truly, truly horrific with some of the stuff they did and the things they would get away with. I think, I mean, the thing at me at 12 years old with wrestling, I remember was all the potential slips that might happen, if you know what I mean. Sable and that type of stuff that was going on. And it actually all comes to head here because it's looking like in about 1 month from right now, Bogman and I may be at Royal Rumble, which is coming here.
How many players are we going to know?
Players, wrestlers?
Yes.
It's going to be pretty minimal. So Bogman and I, we famously have a history with wrestling. We did our famous e-wrestling story on ITL 5 years ago, which I told. And Bogman and I used to like wrestling, but this is when we were in our 20s. We both legitimately haven't watched wrestling at least for 10 years, at least, maybe longer. But you and I went to WrestleMania that was out here in Phoenix, and I also hadn't, you and I hadn't watched wrestling for 3 or 4 years prior to that. So whatever was going on there, we went there. I didn't know half the matches. I didn't know what a Sheamus was. I didn't know half the stuff. Now those guys that were at WrestleMania, those are veterans and they're like gone. Like they're not even there anymore. I would say we'll know about 20% of the people that are involved. The Royal Rumble is going to bring out like people that we know. They just classically do. And I think they have a female Royal Rumble box. I think that's something they do as well.
I've watched that on some hub channels before.
I don't think this one. I mean, that would be great if that's what it was, but I'm not sure that's family friendly. But in about 1 month, it's not a full guarantee because we're not spending tickets on this. Like there is $0 invested.
I'm trying to think of the chant that I can make appropriate for the radio that I'm going to be doing at the female Royal Rumble. Office tools. That's like the best I can do.
Office tools.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on our sheet.
I don't know what office tools mean. All right. This is good radio here.
You see that?
Two knives stuck together. That's what you're trying to say. I got you. That'll probably go. I mean, this is Arizona, so that'll go over well than it would in other places. But yeah, I'm sure that'll go over well. So I don't know what that had to do with anything, but it just we got there. We got there because of the ho-ho-hos. It took us all the way to Royal Rumble that we might be at. So we'll have to have some coverage. We'll have to do some live coverage from there. And it'll be something good to talk about in January when football is over, because football, at least from the fantasy perspective, is about or is over for most people. And week 16, even though we have sat on the microphone for 5+ years in this industry, and we have just spouted out how much and how ridiculous week 17 is. It's so dumb. It's absolutely ridiculous. But week 17 playoffs. I think I just said 16.
Yes.
Week 17 going through the playoffs. Week 16 is not turning out to be that much better anymore with the amount of players that are out and what's going on. And we got a culmination on Wednesday afternoon when we receive word that Josh Gordon will no longer be in the NFL because he's back to his old tricks. Back to his old tricks. Bogman, did you even see? I mean, you and I kind of went on a little rant about it on the ITL Fantasy Football podcast, but something. Well, I don't want to get back into that because I had to go back and listen to that. And I'm like, how did I sound doing that? Because everybody right now is on the sympathetic train, you know, the Godfather on the sympathetic train with it. And not sympathetic.
Sympathetic train.
Yeah. It elicits different feelings. But
it's a bunch of psychiatrists coming out behind him instead of hoes.
Bunch of MDs. Yeah, exactly. The one thing, though, that continuously is, I think, ultimately disturbing and something we have to remember. But again, everybody gives him a pass because it's like, well, it's an addiction. You know, it's like, I mean, that everyone, at least publicly, that wants to give him the pass is like, you can't hold anything against him. He's an addict. And this type of stuff happens. It's like, no, we can hold people accountable. And maybe accountability at some point if they continue. I mean, also, if you ever go through like a step program, accountability is one of the first steps. So like, let's maybe get ahead of it a little bit. But he's not really accountable because he found out about the suspension and he released a statement before the NFL fully suspended him. And he's like, I'm walking away from football. Like he did the I'm breaking up with you thing. That's what he did when he was being broken up with.
Yeah, it's I hate this story, man. And I hate that this keeps happening. I just think that it's ridiculous that the NFL tests for weed. So if it's something harder that he tested positive for, okay. Yeah, then that needs to be addressed. I just think
he clearly had bigger problems that were
going on. Of course. But I mean, if he deals with them by smoking weed, and if that's like the simple solution, then it sucks that the NFL still tests for it. I mean, the NHL doesn't. It's over with. Like, they just don't even test
for it. Canada legalized recreational use. I mean, they just passed a farm bill, which is going to it's not going to legalize anything, but it's just going to make, like, CBD-based stuff more legal. I think there's 12 states that have recreational use legalized.
I don't know if the NBA tests for it either. Like, it's just so such a widely accepted.
We don't have Cliff Robinson anymore, so I don't hear too much about pot related arrests. So you're right. I don't recall the last. Who was the last one?
No, I don't think. See, that's why I don't think they test for it. I mean, when was the last time?
Does the NBA test for pot?
I don't think they do. Pots. How many pots have you smoking?
How many pots have you smoking, man? Let's see. This is an article from. Is this 6 minutes ago? Is someone thinking the same thing we are?
It might be 6 months ago.
It says 6 minutes. What is the NBA drug policy right now? It says, are NBA players allowed to smoke? Where does the NBA stand on cannabis? Former blah, blah, blah. Let's see. This is about David Stern. Stern admitted to wanting to clean up the image of the league. Back and forth. Now I'm getting cannabis ads here. Let's see. Some takeaways from the policy when the actual punishment kicks in. Well, what is it? Currently, the NBA has a lower threshold for THC than the NFL does. The NFL will allow for a sample. And by the way, THC is a component of cannabis. The NFL will allow for a sample to have up to 35 ng/mLs. What is that?
I don't know.
I'm not gonna know what that milligram is. Where the NBA will only allow up to 15. So I mean, half.
Okay, but
to record a positive test.
But here's the thing. Then they're simply not testing their players.
Well, the NBA players make so much more money, so they can hide it better.
I don't know.
A lot more fall men. You can have a lot more fall men when you're a power forward making $12 million than in the NFL, where you're a wide receiver making one.
I just think the NFL has the stricter testing policy. That has to be it then.
The NFL suspended 6 players during the 2017-18 season, while the NBA suspended 2 players, Bogman, for marijuana-related violations. I don't know. I have to keep going to this article. The policy requires a player to enter the marijuana program. I bet everyone would want to be in that one. The second violation.
Can I sign up for that?
I know. I'll be a test subject. Dude, I swear to God, I'm going to have nothing but CBD and marijuana ads on Google now. You know how Google is just ramped up for the holiday season? They're like, Google's trying to be like a pot dealer. Like, hey, man, you want some? I got some CBD for you.
I got the hookup, man.
I got it. A second violation results in a $25,000 fine, and the player must re-enter the marijuana program. Maybe that's why everyone keeps failing. They want to get back into it.
A third
marijuana related violation results in a 5-game suspension and the player's re-entry into the NBA marijuana program. So I just want to add to what you're saying here. 3 violations is where you start to get a suspension. It takes 3 to get there. Violating involving marijuana violation. Let's see. Oh, a fourth or any subsequent violation involving marijuana will result in a suspension that is 5 games longer than the player's immediately preceding suspension. So, I mean, you can dupe up for a month, get your 4th suspension, and you're going to miss 10 games. That's it.
You know, it's funny because it has a list of the players suspended here, but it doesn't break it down by just like, you know, one is for domestic violence. This is for a brawl.
These NBA ones you pulled up?
Yeah, these are. I'm just on Wiki here. And these suspensions are going way back. There was one last year.
Well, who were the two? Because remember, there were two. This article said there were two.
Yeah, I was trying to find him. Well, OJ Mayo was a big one. He's permanently suspended because he failed so many tests. But I'm looking at what is this list? Does this just say this says suspended? You know, these are guys that have been suspended, and I don't have one from last season. No one was suspended. They were probably fined or put into a drug treatment program.
This is interesting here. It says going back. This is talking about like the money and stuff. It says going back to the 5-game suspension. Remember, the NBA season is 82 games. Therefore, a 5-game suspension is the equivalent to 6% of the season. Compared to the NFL, the NBA's 6%, 5-game suspension relative to the NFL's 25% is a 4-game suspension, which doesn't seem so bad. But I mean, that's what those guys get. I mean, we really think about that. Five games on a third violation in the NBA, little money, little hit to the season, where in the NFL, I mean, what are you going to get? 3-4 games? I mean, these guys get 4 games. They're missing a quarter of the season and a huge chunk of money. And it says the NFL guarantees at least one test anytime, anywhere.
Here
and
we
if
go.
You miss it, it's an automatic fail.
Okay, so with 1 week left in the season, the NBA suspends 2 players for smoking weed.
This is last year, okay.
This is from April 4th, 2018. Utah Jazz's Thabo Sefolosha and Dallas Mavericks' Nerlens Noel were each suspended for 5 games after testing positive for cannabis multiple times.
Is this why Nerlens Noel can't get his minutes up?
It might be. The NBA has suspended 2 players.
I didn't know that. Did you know that Noel got suspended for weed?
No clue.
Did they even announce it? I don't feel like they
probably
didn't even announce it.
And they did it in the last week of the season. They suspended these guys when no one was paying attention because they don't want it to look bad on their league, which is always kind of surprising to me when the NFL, like if they just ruled out testing for pot, you wouldn't have these problems. Now, obviously, it wouldn't make Josh Gordon better from a mental health standpoint.
Not close. It'd make it worse for him.
But it would make it easier for him to deal with whatever these problems are.
Well, unless these problems are drugs.
Deal with this too.
Unless it's all drugs, which they seem to be. So, hey, don't go anywhere. We got to go to break. But I've got this. This is very interesting. I've got Adam Silver's comments. This is an old article probably. So, I mean, you guys may know all this, but let's talk about it. Adam Silver's comments on marijuana and if it could be banned in the NBA. This is a good conversation. We'll talk more about this. We've got week 16 and tons more. So don't go anywhere. It's more In This League on the Christmas edition right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh, In This League.
Welcome back In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Merry, merry, happy Christmas weekend, holiday, Festivus. I had this ridiculous thing. I had this guy come to my house and, you know, doing some stuff, just checking around the house and saying goodbye to him. And I'm just like, all right, you know, shake your hand. I'm like, Merry Christmas. And then I had all of just the world go into my brain. All this just snowflake world popped in my brain. Instead of going Merry Christmas and closing the door,
Happy Holidays.
Dude, I swear to God, I went Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you do, just have a good one. And then the guy never turned around. He just kept walking, and I was just like, I hate this world. Everything is a problem. Like, I couldn't just say Merry Christmas, but then I was like, am I being insensitive? Like, is he Jewish? And he's gonna like be like, I don't do that. And I'm like, just have a nice time, have a great life. Bye.
Yeah, I just don't care about the sensitivity. Like, I know when I really have to do it, but when I'm standing in my own house, no, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to do it. I just it happened. It just came out of me. Like, I was just like, Merry Christmas.
You ever have the people like forcefully say Merry Christmas to you?
Oh, you can tell. Yeah, they're just like, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Nothing else.
I like,
Merry Christmas.
I have done this before where, you know, you're at like a store and someone's like, Happy Holidays. And I'm like, you can say Christmas to me. It's okay. Like, I'll just tell them. I'm like, you can do that. It's all right. I won't tattle on you. I won't tell your boss that you defined a holiday.
God, I just like, if that's the worst thing that happens to you in a day, someone says Merry Christmas and you don't celebrate it. I mean, get over yourself.
Seriously.
For God's sake.
So we're talking about cannabis and sports, and it just comes up again. We don't even have the full details of what Josh Gordon did for the umpteenth million time to elicit a suspension. And essentially,
I don't know if it was failed or missed.
Yeah, you know? Who knows? Like, at this point, we'll find out. Cannabis has been his big issue, but we heard all the stories that he released, you know, about in college with the drinking, and it seemed like he was a big alcoholic too. But regardless, you know, he thought he was getting in front of it. He didn't even acknowledge, by the way, his suspension. Another thing, when you want to talk about, like, ultimately why I can appreciate all the people and the conversation that is now happening around mental health with this. I like that that's happening. But the person, the individual, I'm not going to give the pass that everyone else is going to give. And everybody on all the justice warriors are out there giving all the pat. We know mental health is a serious issue. We need all of that, and we need as much work as possible.
And like, I'm not saying that Josh Gordon doesn't have that, but if that's what we're going to start doing, you know, I feel like that's going to be the excuse used for anything.
Well, people also forget, Boggs, that, like, you can support somebody while also not giving them a pass. You know what I mean? Like, everyone thinks, like, oh, we got to be really sensitive and we got to hold his hand and we got to be there for him. Okay, you know what? We can also say what you're doing isn't okay. You also have no accountability because you make a statement before the NFL suspends you to be like, I'm walking away from the game because I got to take care of myself. Okay, I mean, you're doing that because you're getting suspended in 4 hours. Appreciate what you're doing. I think that's a great stance, but, you know, you've done that. You've worked on that image of it, and there isn't an accountability that's happening there. And just time after time after time, but that is addiction in general. Okay, so away from that though, but you go ahead.
Well, last season we were talking about just the numbers of players, like the two guys that were suspended for pot last year
in the NBA.
In the NBA, Cephalosha and Nerlens Noel, and then I forgot we had Jody Meeks suspended for 25 games this season. Remember,
okay,
and
so
he was traded. He was traded in the offseason and then waived. Because the Wizards traded for him, I believe, and then waived him. So, but I want you to just take a crack on this season, you know, after the draft and on.
For NFL.
For the NFL. And this includes PEDs. So how many players have been,
or suspected PEDs, because they'll do this whole, like, he failed a substance. It was a substance thing, and it's not necessarily just weed or a drug.
Yeah. Well, right. And, you know, it was we don't know what it was because there was a masking agent, but we know that there was a masking agent. So you're doing something on the no list.
OK, so on the no list. All right.
No fly zone list.
OK, I mean, NBA, there's only what, been one this year?
Only Jody Meeks that I've heard of.
Lucky him. I would say, I don't know, five in the NFL.
More.
Eight.
More.
12.
More.
Holy. Oh, you almost made me. 20?
18.
Oh, my God.
We've had, I'm just going to burn through them. Demetrius Harris for one game. Victor Bolden for four. Julian Edelman for four. David Irving for four. Robert Turbin for four. Reuben Foster for two. Jamon Brown for two. Aaron Jones for two. Rashad Robinson for four. Ardarius Stewart for two. Kevin Pierre-Lewis for one. Carlos Henderson for one. Darryl Worley for four. Terrence Williams for three. Kyle Nelson for 10. Darren Lee for four. Martavis Bryant and Josh Gordon.
Did you even mention Mark Ingram?
I did. I think he wasn't caught this year. He was just suspended this year.
Oh,
so I think
okay.
These guys were caught and then suspended within this season.
Let me throw this out to you, Boggs.
But I didn't say Mark Ingram. You're right.
Maybe there's an accountability issue in the NFL.
Wait a minute. I was wrong. So for some reason, I'm looking on the Wikipedia list. Holy Jesus. And there was a 2016 guy in here. So Jarrell Freeman is still serving because he has 32 games. I don't know how do you get 32 games?
That's just two seasons.
But there was, okay, so 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32.
On 32 the 30-second suspension the NFL gave to me.
Yeah, dude, I forgot all these players. And I just looked down the list, and I stopped after it said 2016. But Huff, Corey Liggett, Thomas Davis.
Michael
remember?
Huff from UT?
Josh Huff from the Saints. Josh Morrow, Thomas Davis, Jalen Collins, Vontez, Mark Sanchez was suspended 4 games. It's you remember also, that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, Akeem Ayers and Mark Ingram, like you said.
I mean, there's a lot of dudes, and there are other things, but
there's more players in the NFL, too. You know, it's 15 per team in the NBA in 30 teams, and it's 53.
And they're not all drug-related, like marijuana drug-related.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of
performance.
PEDs,
well, and right. then we can throw in the other acts of accountability in the NFL, like of... you know, the Reuben Foster stuff, the Kareem Hunt stuff. You know, there's a spousal stuff that goes on. What I think is interesting, it's actually almost a bigger question, too. There's kind of this accountability. It's so funny how sports pick their different forms of accountability to just not acknowledge. Like, it makes me think about this. The NFL, I think, actually, it's maybe this is bigger issue than Josh Gordon. It's there just isn't accountability. Like, we couldn't get that video, Kareem Hunt. We couldn't have possibly done anything. And then it comes out and everyone looks bad. All these players doing this stuff. I mean, how much can you control those players? I get it. But go take a look at the NBA box. I don't know if you saw this article about how it has to do with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. LeBron James openly was like, yeah, I'd love to have Anthony Davis here in this kind of recruitment cap.
Crybabies.
Well, yes. Yeah, it's crybabies. But what ended up happening is there's a lot of unspoken GMs and officials around the NBA that are saying, listen, like, are we ever going to put this this quote tampering rule to use?
Those are the crybabies.
No, I mean, well, maybe they are crybabies, but still, if it's a rule, they're not enforcing. It's another act of accountability. They're not enforcing this tampering rule. I mean, I think tampering is absolutely ridiculous. You don't think these dudes are all texting? They're on a Slack channel?
They're all doing it anyway. So, like, why even make a rule against it? It's just so ridiculous to me. I understand the purpose of it and everything. I just think it's dumb because, like you said, this is getting done anyway. That's kind of the same reason I feel about the weed. It's like, guys are going to smoke weed.
Well,
you know, so the NBA does this thing where it's like, all right, you do it 4 times and we'll suspend you for 5 games. And the NFL is obviously much stricter in that.
So
but,
let me read off a little bit going back to, because this was kind of focused on the cannabis thing and then, you know, just randomly getting us to the NBA. I'm going to just read a little bit of this article that was on the nationalmarijuananews.com. But it's what is a drug policy? It goes,
it's my favorite news.
I bookmark this site. David Stern, former league commissioner, the same who was responsible for instituting the testing policy back in 2000, has gone on record saying marijuana should be removed from the banned substance list in the NBA. Stern stated this is the best line I've ever heard. Stern stated he watched a documentary on cannabis, which convinced him that there were multiple positive uses for the plant and its use should not be restricted. This is a change in heart the public rarely sees from a person of his stature, blah, blah, blah. But then here's where it gets into the current commissioner.
Can you imagine Stern just sitting around and being like, you know what?
Probably all smoking a doobie. He's smoking a doobie. He's Netflix and chill, David Stern. Netflix and chill with a nice, like, you know, 2008's
on the way with his snacks.
He's got like a 2006 cab. He's got a doobie. He's got Postmates coming from some like Ruth Chris, and he's sitting there watching, you know, like Loose Change, and then some cannabis documentary on Netflix.
He's just going through all the conspiracy theories.
he's like, we need to talk about the Illuminati.
Man, AIDS was made by the government. I'm convinced now.
It's like there probably are 5 factions that rule the entire government. We need to check this out. Has anybody looked into Loose Change? All right. But in this article, it goes that a current commissioner, Adam Silver, says he has no plans on removing marijuana from the banned substance list, but has an open mind about the possibility of it happening in the future. Silver was quoted saying,
we're not going to remove it, but you're going to get 8 strikes from now on.
That's but you can gamble on it is what you can do. You can do a DFS lineup and gamble on it. Official sponsor. Silver was quoted saying, "My personal view is that it should be regulated in the same way that other medications are. If the plan is to use it for pain management, it's not for it's not for free range use.
What if you're just using it for snacks?" No, that's not good.
But that's the whole thing. Is the big argument on the legalization has been around, you know, pain relief and the medical stuff, which I don't necessarily disagree with. So much so that the Attorney General Jeff Sessions has, and his objectionable stance towards, who is it? It's not Jeff Sessions. Harry Reid, maybe? Someone was trying to get it passed federally, so then states would have their own decisions. But if it was passed federally, then that's where a place like the NBA, if they're saying, hey, if it gets, you know, regulated, then we'll consider it. If there was a federal regulation on marijuana to say, hey, yes, each state can choose if recreational use is legal in their state, federally we're good, and that would open up company policies and then the NBA being able to say, yes, marijuana for recreational and pain use is legal now, and that would be an absolute game changer. And then ultimately it would come back to, I mean, there's so many implications too about, you know, marijuana arrests that are out there, suspensions. You could see lawsuits in sports of players potentially. I mean, I guess, you know, it was illegal back then, so it would probably be moot. But then we would come back and look at a situation like Josh Gordon, who's openly struggled with all of this stuff, and we would, what, give him a pass again? Would we give him a pass?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that would work. I mean, obviously the bigger stuff is, you know, nonviolent criminals in for selling marijuana, stuff like that. Getting them out of prison would be the biggest thing. But these suspensions, I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe you just say, hey, look, you know, you broke the rules when it was a rule. And, you know, because at the bottom line is they're a company and they can make their own policies. So, maybe you just say, no, you broke the rule when it was a rule, and that's that. You can't work here anymore.
It is interesting, though. I love that you brought up the NBA just randomly here, because the paths of these two organizations, the NFL and NBA, seem so different. I mean, look at how the NBA is now, like, I think they have an official partnership with FanDuel. You know, like, they're releasing and by the way, they released their sports booking. So FanDuel now has all the official info that normal sports books would have for NBA betting on FanDuel. They have DFS partnerships. The NBA has fully embraced gambling. And look at this. The NBA and NBA Players Association say that they are working on looking into the benefits of cannabis. So they are going... I'm not saying that they are going to be the ones that are going to be out there pushing for it, but they're doing already research here on making it a possibility and probably looking into legalization if it were, like I mentioned before, if it were to open up federally, where the NFL couldn't be farther from that. The NFL, they can't get a video of a player doing something a year ago to do a proper investigation. They can't investigate one single player across the board when there is video of it. They don't know what the hell they're doing. The NFL is so far behind and has so many more problems. And I don't know if it's just that, like, oh, there's more players. It's a much bigger systemic problem the NFL, I think, is dealing with.
Well, yeah, I mean, the as far as drugs of abuse go, NFL players also have a harder grind, you know, and they have more pain, I would say, than NBA players in general. So I think that's why we have more of this stuff going on. Also, it's I think if you're going to make the NBA, you have to either be unbelievably skilled or you have to have the physical body to make it. And that's just that. So it's more cut and dry of who can actually make it in the NBA. You can be a borderline type of a player in the NFL. So guys are trying to get one up to keep their job and stuff like that.
What's the hardest sport to get? Because you just said that. And I just like, what's the hardest thing in professional sports to do or be?
Baseball.
Is it hit a baseball? Is it pitch?
No.
Is it make it to the NBA? No. Okay, but
it's
okay,
hit a baseball.
That's a single act. I'm not just saying the single act. What's the hardest sport to get into?
The hardest sport to get into?
It's got to be the NBA.
Yeah, probably it's the NBA or hockey. Hockey, you have to skate. I mean,
I would just throw this out here.
I can't even start. So,
well, I mean, maybe this is actually an asinine.
I can shoot a basketball. I mean, I'm too fat to run up and down the court.
Okay, but you're being like, hey, I'm Bogman. I'm gonna like try out for hockey. I'm saying people that are doing these sports at a young age. What I was about to say was there's so much. I don't have quantitative numbers
in the NHL too.
Well, yeah, but I'm also gonna probably say something that someone's gonna get all pissy about. Keep it to yourself because I don't care. But I would say that the pool of people that are playing hockey is so much less than any of the other three sports that makes that internally easier, especially if that is your focus sport. But I do acknowledge hockey has a very big presence in Canada and overseas, and you have a bigger overseas market than you would than like football. But basketball and baseball both have it. And it's an interesting conversation all across the board that we're molding into of the. And I agree with you. The hardest single thing to do is hit a baseball. Kyler Murray wasn't lying.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when your success rate is 30% is getting you millions and millions of dollars, then it's tough. You know, just really, really hard to do.
Maybe the NBA is going to change the table because Bogman has you actually just did the history of the three-pointer, which I think is very interesting, over on NBA Sound System. That's a show that Bogman and I do called NBA Takeaways for the NBA. You can check that out, the Friday edition. Go back and listen to it. You can get the history of the three-pointer. But why did it come up? Because there's been conversation about a new line and maybe a higher point, but save that.
26 threes by the Rockets. No big deal.
Save it. We'll talk about it. We're going to go to break, and Bogman's going to lay out a little bit of what was the history of the NBA and, like you said, why it got there and what is potentially being talked about. And we got a whole bunch more. Week 16, we got some Christmas-related. I got some Christmas-related stuff we got to talk about. A little bit of DFS, so don't go anywhere. Bogman of the Welsh coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's In This League.
How you doing? It's good to see you, man. I'm glad you opened on Christmas. Whoop.
A lot of people need me.
In This League.
On Christmas. It's a tough holiday. What do you want?
In This League.
It's good to see you kids still hanging out. Makes me proud.
But this is not for us. This is for a good friend of mine.
Scott Bogman.
The Messiah.
Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, there's only one Messiah, our Lord and Savior,
Chris Welsh.
So that name's a little blasphemous.
At a game, just got a gut feeling? No problem. You can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform, Bogman. It's my dream, but I know it would be Bogman's downfall if we could do that here in Arizona. It would be a problem right at the touch of your fingers. My friends, with the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today, and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and open an account with the promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie, they're going to match your deposit up to $1,000. Yes, you heard me. $1,000. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY.
Let's go.
It's a Mary Janey Christmas. It's the smoke time of the year.
So I got a question for you. Everyone is saying that's a wrap on his career.
Josh Gordon.
It's over with. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against that, I think. Do you think that that's it? Or have we seen the last of Josh Gordon
to ever say goodbye? I've seen the last of my care of Josh Gordon.
You've always kind of been a Josh Gordon truther.
Not kind of. I have. Well, I've led the train.
Trying to get some credit here.
No, I believe me. I've been dumping in the pounds and barrels of cannabis into the choo-choo train, and the smoke-filled train has been rolling along the tracks as I've been like, he's a talented
it's not
guy.
For that train. It's weed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not the whole train. It's the CBD train.
So you want to stand in the back of that train so you get all the smoke.
Yeah, well, man, that's been his problem. No, like, I appreciated early on the candor, the admittance of, you know, the issues. But, I mean, I said this, I'll say this one more time, and I'm not trying to be necessarily crass about it, but I fully believe this, and I haven't had anybody agree with me, and this is like one of my favorite analogies of all time, but Josh Gordon is the Artie Lang of the NFL to me.
Yeah. You know?
And I explained this over on the football pod, where it's like Artie Lang, years and years, he talks and tells everybody he's an addict. He talks about it. He did an incredible episode. If you've never watched, oh, damn it, what's the HBO show with Pete Davidson?
Pete Holmes one.
Or Pete Holmes. Yeah. What is it? Crashing. And Artie Lang is a character on there and has openly had his stuff happen. They did an episode in like season two, I think, about it's all around Artie. It's all about addiction. And it's the real thing. But Artie Lang has always been like, eh, I'm an addict, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just got to love me. Got to be there for me. Don't give up, all this stuff, which, hey, that's all probably true. But he continuously puts himself in horrible situations, almost dies, try to kill himself. Horrible, horrible stuff. But then it's just like, I'm an addict, you know, just keep going. That's Josh Gordon to me at this point. Like, I've gone from, hey, you know, there's a lot of accountability that's going on, to being like, oh, well, no, this is the mechanism to just get you from, I mean, you're still in full addict mode. You haven't moved past it. And you don't ever necessarily, I know an addict would say you don't ever move past it. But he's not in his place to move past it in his life. He's a young guy. What is he, 26, 27?
Yeah, I don't know if he's that young, but he's still very young.
Whatever. So. Like, whatever spot he's in right now, it's not his spot. We'll probably 10 years from now, we're going to get like some candid documentary about, you know, telling us all the stories, just like that SI article or whatever, but it'll be a whole documentary about it. And that's good. I hope that's his place from an NFL perspective. Dunzo. I mean, he's burned multiple teams. Everybody that's been around him and worked for him has, hit the pavement. You know what I mean? Agents, teammates, you know what I mean? He's let everybody down due to this addiction, which the addiction has let everybody down. The NFL loves nothing more than to give people second, third, and fourth chances. I think he's done. Indefinite suspension. NFL probably suspended. Who'd you say? Who's that dude that got 32 games?
Jarrell Freeman, I think.
Why wouldn't he? This is like his 1,200th suspension for substance abuse. This should probably be a 32 game, and I don't see why any team would want to take the risk and welcome him back after, you know, what, playing
right.
One season in 5 years. I think it's also
the thing where, okay, you're in Cleveland, and Cleveland is kind of a joke organization. They can't get themselves back on their feet. You know, how can you expect him to do it? Well, they trade him to one of the most storied franchises in the NFL with the Patriots, with one of the best coaches ever. Yeah. And everything seemed to be going okay for him for a while.
But it obviously wasn't.
And yeah, it obviously wasn't. So no.
So that's it. I mean,
I think you're right. I don't think he winds up playing another down in the NFL. I think it's over for him, and it's unfortunate, but
it's a bummer to see, dude.
There's a couple other leagues coming in where the XFL is coming in now.
Nope.
I think the XFL is going to have stricter drug policies.
Baker Mayfield can't play in the XFL. So not Baker Mayfield. Johnny Manziel can't play in the XFL.
Really?
Yeah, because you can't have an arrest record.
Okay.
Remember he had that thing with his
girlfriend. I didn't know that. But and then there's the American Football Alliance of America or whatever it is, league coming up that maybe he could wind up playing in. So I don't know if he's done playing football.
Yeah, when they celebrate their 10th year. Yeah, now he's done.
Right.
He's done. It was disappointing. I've got a championship this week in this Michael Rapaport league. I had Josh Gordon. I got the notification. I was like, oh, what happened?
Who'd you
pick
up?
I don't know, but It was a smaller league, so I had an amazing bench. I think I put Tyler Lockett in the starting lineup.
Gotcha.
So
that's tough.
Yeah, jeez. I just looked and I was like, this sucks. You know, this is brutal. And I'm like, all right, got to cut him. You know, he's done, suspended, donezo. And this was in championship week, and I put in, I think, Tyler Lockett or somebody else. I might have to go look, actually, to be honest with you. But that's how that rolls.
Well, the Rockets set the record for most three-pointers in a game, the Welsh.
That's so what we were, when we went to bed, went to break, we were teasing this because, what was it? Went to bed. Dude, I want to go to bed so bad. That's all I want to do for like 3 days on this Christmas break. Because NBA takeaways, Bogman and I show for the NBA. I love saying that.
Through the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
And we did get a very nice email from the guys that did that, that they said how much they love our work. Like, we don't hear anything for a couple weeks, and we were just like...
Yeah, we're kind of like... Are they liking this?
Like, we had the conversation. We're like, Bogman's like, I don't know if they like me. And I'm like, I don't know if they like me. I'm like, are we doing good? I think we're doing good. They put out a tweet and they make like custom videos with our, you know, stuff on it. And I think everyone likes us. And then we got the Christmas email. It was like, oh, you guys are doing great. Thanks so much. And then, you know, we felt all warm and fuzzy inside. But you've been hitting a stride. And actually, you and I have been doing some unique stuff on there talking. You know, we did power rankings. I looked through the history of free throw guys. And you just did an interesting one on Friday where it was a history of the three-pointer, and it was sparked because the Rockets hit 26 damn threes in a game.
26. So I'm going to let you guess. First of all, when was the first game ever, and I'll just say it was a collegiate game, what year do you think the first game ever they put in a three-point line? It was just for an exhibition. It was like a test game. So I'll give you that hint, too. So you get to guess now. What year do you think that was?
I mean, it was like the 3-point line. Was it in the 70s or 80s?
Oh, no, no.
Am I way off? Is it in the 50s?
The first ever was 1945.
Really? Then that was a test?
That was a test game between Columbia and Fordham. I'm just looking at Wikipedia here. And the next time
they I wonder why in the 40s those two teams had the 3-point line in there.
1958. Was the next time they ever did it was St. Francis and Siena in a college game.
Okay, because am I thinking of the NBA then? Is that why I said the 70s or 80s when the implementation was?
Yep. And you're actually exactly right because it was the 1979-1980 season.
Okay, perfect.
When the NBA officially adopted the three-point line. But most teams saw it as a gimmick and did not take advantage of it at all. Why don't you take a crack? In that season, what was the average 3-point attempts in a game, do you think?
In the 79-80?
79-80 season.
Per team?
Per team, yeah. Oh. Just how many shots do you think they put up per game?
Innovation was lacking in there. I'll bet you it was like 3 a game.
That's exactly right. 2.8.
Really? Wow, I am good at this. 2.8
per game.
Yeah.
They made 0.8 per game. That was it. Wow. So now...
Anthony Davis does better than that, and he's 7 feet.
The 2016-2017 season had an average of 9.73 threes made per game and 27 attempts.
Wow. 27 attempts on an average per team?
Do you know what the record is? Because the Rockets set the record for most attempts last year.
Oh, God. I think it was like, 38?
61.
Whoa, what?
61 attempts.
61 three-point attempts?
Yeah. I mean, they just set the record with 26 makes.
What are they doing?
They were losing.
It's like video game stuff. You know, you just give up in a video game and you're just like, you do one inbound pass and you shoot the ball from like 40 feet.
Chuck.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, but then there was
61?
61 attempts.
Holy crap.
And Malika Andrews from ESPN put out this article about teams practicing with a 4-point line.
So this is a conversation. This is what was so interesting about that. I didn't mean to cut you off, Bog. I just wanted can I set up the thing we talked about of the other league that's doing that? Or do you want to set your table first before?
No. Okay. I didn't even know there was another league that was doing a 4-point line.
Well, so Bogman and I, we were just talking about this. You were like excited about the 3-point stuff. And I liked hearing about this. And then you mentioned to me, you're like, so somebody, who did you just say it was?
Malika Andrews from ESPN.
No, but who was toying around with it? Was it NBA teams?
Oh, yeah. There were a bunch of NBA teams that are doing it, specifically the Hawks and the Sixers and the Bulls.
So they're putting up like a 3-point line on their practice courts.
A 4-point line.
A 4-point line. I'm sorry. What did they say? Is there like a standard of what? Because what is the 3-point line? Isn't it like
23 feet, 9 inches.
Okay.
So that's from the basket. The corner is obviously shorter. It's not a true arc because of the dimensions of the court.
What's the 4-point? Is it like 27, 28 feet? 30?
4-point is between 28 and 29 feet.
So what I was talking about is there is another faction that has done something like this, the Big Three. The big three implemented, and this is where, because you and I started having this conversation of like, would you really implement a 4-point line? Or, because I randomly said this, and then we were like, wait, the big three does this. The big three implemented 3 4-point zones. They're circles on their court, and they're 30 feet away from the basket. I'll be honest with you. I know it's very hokey, and it's kind of like their shtick. You know, it's, I'm not saying it's quite like the XFL doing, you know, running at the ball for the kickoff. But I personally, Boggs, I kind of like the zones better than I do an entire line.
And the Bucks and Mike Budenholzer, they have been practicing not with zone specifically, but it's kind of to set up spacing inside. They have they do squares on their practice court. They do these big squares, and each guy will run to a square, all obviously behind the arc, and they'll start up there. And when they start making these shots, and ESPN did a great article. You know, it's funny because my last two takeaway shows, I've been making fun of ESPN for their horrible take on Dražen Petrović, and then complimenting them because Malika Andrews had this incredible article about the 4-point line and teams practicing with it. And
how many teams was it again?
Yeah, I think it was 6 teams.
That's so interesting. I mean, and what's so interesting about that is how much have we seen, like, think like Steph Curry. How many times do we see Steph Curry just set up from 26 feet and just launch it and nail those shots? And obviously, you know, practicing from a further distance.
Someone was showing like all the shots that he's taken from beyond where the 4-point line would be, and he has a better 4-point percentage than he does a 3-point percentage.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was ridiculous. He was like 66%. Now, he's also not getting defended on those shots. So if they were to put in a line, that would be different because he'd have a guy with a hand in his face.
I can get the line, but I still really hold true. I don't know how you feel about it. We didn't get to that far in our conversation, but I like the idea of the zones, whether it's like two kind of like bigger squares, or smaller circles or whatever, because what I think it opens up, what makes it so interesting is obviously, you know, 4 points. How many times do we see a team down by 4 and then they're trying to rush in a 2-pointer, get the ball back, foul? With the 4-point line, you know, it obviously opens up the scoring possibilities. But from a defensive perspective, you know, the defense, they're going to know where the zones are. So are you going to have guys that are going to be setting up near the zones for defensive
especially
coverage?
If you're down by 4.
That's what I mean. You know. But would it also then maybe lead to, you know, more open threes and then them doing the foul? You know, I feel like it would adjust
spacing completely. And they were showing a video of Trae Young, because they practice with the 4-point line now. So it's kind of muscle memory for him where he pulls up from the 4-point line. And he makes it, and then he runs up to an
open 10-footer.
No, he runs up to the 4-point line again, and the defense collapses on him, and he kicks it right into Alex Len, and Alex Len has an easy jam. So analytics also says you don't want mid-range shots anymore. That's why Carmelo can't find a spot. You know, mid-range shots suck. You want to take the three because of the added bonus of the extra point, or you want, you know, low percentage missed shots. You want dunks, you want layups, that kind of stuff. That's what analytics show.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like it's just an odds. You know, if your mid-range to three-pointers share a relative similar percentage, you know, why are you going for lower scoring shots? You know, the volume doesn't make sense. So I think it would be interesting. I think it's weird at any time, especially in our day and age, you changing up the game completely. Adding a 4-point line opens up weird opportunities. I'm not sure
ever
happens.
Well, Adam Silver's against it, so it won't happen.
What happens first, a 4-point line or legal marijuana in the NBA?
Legal marijuana,
150,000%.
I mean, just so many percentage points.
Yeah, because traditionalists, we did it in the last, 40 years of the 3-point line. But from a traditionalist standpoint, it does kind of like, it's a little hokey. Like I said, the big three is fun, but it's hokey.
I understand what you're saying, but that's what everyone said about the 3-point line in the beginning too, and no one adjusted or practiced for it at all. I think if the 4-point line was put in, you would have teams using it, especially
bad
teams.
I don't disagree. That's what I just said. I think people would use it, I think, to also fake out defenses. Like I said, it spreads the court out even more, which might not be bad.
It changes the spacing. Yeah.
Well, also because the NBA, I mean, they want scoring, and we're on a boom of scoring. You know, we see games where it's like 133 to 121, but I mean, you know, you open up this, you space out the court like that and open up a 4-point line, you might start seeing 150 to 140 games going on, and there's nothing bad on offense. It just, it manipulates the history of the game a bit where there's going to be inflated stats. I mean, we can't have a guy like Carmelo Anthony being Hall of Fame eligible.
And for fantasy, dude, we have to add the 4-point shot.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Nine cat would become defunct. We'd have to have a 10 cat.
2% shooting would probably be good at that point.
Probably. That's a whole other thing. Would you have to, what would you do? Would you have to lump 4 and 3-point shots together?
Almost like extra base hits or something.
Yeah.
You'd have to do something.
It'd be like net, net extra point, you know, net plus
3
twos.
3-point plus.
It's ridiculous. Well, let us know what you think. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Do you think it could happen? Do you like the line or zones? That's what I want to know. Maybe we should put a poll out there at some point. I'd love to know where people are at on that. But don't go anywhere because we got more coming up. Hour two is going down. Got a Christmas-related question we got to get at. We got DFS. We got Week 16 and a whole bunch more. So Merry Christmas. You're way back here. Don't go anywhere.